What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a show that is currently taking place in the death of abortion rights in the U.S. And yeah, it's not good. With me to talk about this is Shireen, is Sophie, is Garrison, and is Robert Evans. And okay, so one of the things that's been happening in the immediate wake of the Supreme Court decision that has destroyed Roe v. Wade is there's been a lot of discussion about the abortion rights movement in Mexico. And by discussion, I mean in sort of classical American fashion, people saw exactly one meme and reposted it. And that's now the sum of like all American knowledge about the abortion struggle in Mexico. So to try to get a deeper understanding of what's been going on in Mexico and how the struggle for abortion was won there, we're talking to Erica Yamada, who's a feminist and human rights activist born and raised in Mexico. Erica, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris, Shireen, Sophie, Garrison, and Robert. I'm so honored and excited to be here and very grateful to be considered to share about the struggle for abortion rights in Mexico. So before starting this discussion, I would like to share a little bit about myself and the organization I work in to have some background about the experiences and data I will be communicating in this space. I have been involved in many agendas for girls and women's rights for approximately 8 years now. I am currently part of the Women Deliver 2020 class, and I also work in the non-governmental organization, Gender Equality, Citizenship, Work, and Family, that has over 25 years of experience working for sexual and reproductive rights in Mexico, particularly for the access to legal and safe abortion. Our organization promotes and advocates for the sexual and reproductive health and rights of youth through DDCER. DDCER is the Network for Sexual and Reproductive Rights in Mexico that has presence in 12 states, and we focus mainly on marginalized communities. We support children, youth, women, and advocate for change at local, regional, and national level. And their access is contributing to decriminalize abortion, guaranteeing access to health services, and generate a favorable public opinion about women's right to decide. We are also part of the National Pro-Choice Alliance in Mexico, an effort of 5 organizations: Gender Equality, the Population Council, IPAS Central America, Catholics for the Right to Decide, and HIRE, each with different expertise regarding abortion. Together, we have worked on comprehensive strategies that include the legal, the social, religious, ethical, and investigation aspects of abortion. And well, I would like to start sharing some of the context and the legal situation of abortion in Mexico, if it's okay.
Yes, please.
In our country, voluntary abortion during the 12 weeks of pregnancy is legalized only in certain states. Mexico City, the capital, was the only state in the whole country that decriminalized abortion in 2007. 12 years later, in 2019, the state of Oaxaca became the second state to ensure access to this health service. Afterwards, 2021 was historic. It was a very, very historic year to us. 4 states, Hidalgo, Veracruz, Baja California, and Colima, also decriminalized abortion. Then this year, 2022, 3 other states have been added to this list: Sinaloa, Guerrero, and Baja California Sur. This means 9 out of 32 states have decriminalized abortion. In the other states of the Mexican Republic, abortion is only allowed under certain grounds established by the law of each entity. For example, if it was a spontaneous abortion, if the pregnancy was due to non-consensual insemination, if the woman's life is in danger of death, if the product has serious genetic alterations, if the pregnancy causes health effects, among other reasons. It depends on each penal code of each state. And I also must add that pregnancy due to rape is the only indication that permits legal abortion in all states. And now coming back to what Chris said, that there was like a meme. I think you referred to the meme of the public protest.
Yeah,
of the black-clad female protesters attacking. Is it I couldn't tell if it's. I don't recall if it's a city hall or a police station or something.
Yes,
there's a building they're going after. Yeah,
I have also seen some of these media reports that that they say that we achieved legal abortion thanks to these radical public demonstrations. And well, it is undeniable that among the most significant achievements is the growing mobilization of feminists and women to eradicate violence and demand justice. Mexico has demonstrated the world this revolutionary progress with a mass feminist protest. And this image is from 2019. It was a huge feminist protest that condemned violence against women, especially sexual and feminicide violence, police brutality, and the impunity that permeates the governmental system. We received a lot of international media attention, and it has been one of the recent highlights of the feminist movement in our country. But like, the struggle for abortion entails so much more. And yes, it did have some influence. For example, in 2020, feminists in 2 states, Quintana Roo and Puebla, took their local congresses and demanded the discussion of abortion initiatives, and they have put this agenda on the table. It is worth mentioning that the struggle for abortion, it goes back so many years. feminists have been fighting for reproductive rights, including the access to legal abortion for decades now. The progress regarding this struggle has unfolded historically during these recent years for many other reasons.
One thing I want to go back to a little bit to talk about is you were talking about the protests being pro-abortion protests, but also talking about anti-femicide and anti-violence stuff. And I was wondering if you could talk about the anti-femicide campaigns too, because that's been a really big part of this that gets basically no coverage in the U.S.
Yeah, well, in Mexico, 11 women are murdered every day. We have a huge femicide problem that has been silenced by the government, even by the president, who minimizes this horrible situation. So in 2019, there was an emblematic case where police officers raped and tortured a girl. And that's how this protest started. And since August 2019, like most feminist protests have been regarding the violence against women. But I would also like to add about the struggle for abortion. I think that in the global south, the Marea Verde, the Green Tide, it played like the most fundamental role. This movement, which came from Argentina, is one of the main successes that strengthened the struggle for abortion rights and even the feminist movement in Mexico. It expanded in many countries, including Mexico. Here we have a national Green Tide and many local Green Tide groups in all of our states. And these collectives have played a large role demanding social and legal decriminalization of abortion across the country. And there is also an increase of networks that provide self-managed abortion information and accompaniment services, which have contributed to fighting the stigma that still surrounds abortion. And the Green Tide and the feminist movement, it has become like, how do you say, it's been merged, and like feminist movements and the Green Tide fight for legal and safe abortion, but also to eradicate the violence against girls and women.
Yeah, that makes sense. And about the Green Tide, I have two questions about the Green Tide. One is, what kinds of tactics have Green Tide groups been doing? And also, how linked have the international movements been? Like, how closely have these organizations been communicating across and working together across the different countries?
Okay. Since the Green Tide came from Argentina, like, the most, the communication comes from regional countries in Latin America, and Mexico has been learning from these Latin American countries, their experiences. We have seen the feminist movements, the protests, also more in the South. And the Green Handkerchief has this very, very powerful symbol of legal and safe abortion. And this has also contributed to the social decriminalization of abortion. And wearing this green handkerchief in the protest also means demanding this health service. And one of our tactics is, of course, pressuring the government. In Mexico, political will, primarily from the left-leaning ruling party, has been fundamental for the decriminalization. With the new government that arrived in 2018, headed by Andrés Manuel López Obrador, we have more allies and progressive legislators. So due to the majority that this political party has in many local congresses, the feminists of each state have been able to pressure and work with these legislators and keep pushing this agenda.
That's awesome. I think something that I'm still stuck on is that at the very least, all the states agree that abortion is okay if it happened from rape. Is that what you said earlier? Like, that's the one, well, like...
We have a federal law. It's the 046 official Mexican norm that states that abortion is legal if the pregnancy is due to rape. And all the states, all the public officials have this obligation to ensure that this happens, but sometimes like we have so many prejudices that sometimes even doctors don't respect the law. But by law it should be legal, and it's not that they all agree. It's the federal law.
Yeah. It's just so, I mean, it's definitely has its flaws and people with their own biases. But like here, usually the rapist will have more rights and protection than the person that got raped. Like there, the family is allowed to sue the person that got an abortion, for example. It's insane. But so for then here, a lot of the bigotry comes from like Christianity and religion. Is it the same? Like, is that the baseline for the opposition there too?
Yes, because Mexico is a predominantly Catholic country, and abortion entails many controversies due to the different positions that come from these religious stances that ignore and deny the access to this service and deny it's a human rights issue. And religious anti-rights groups, or how do you say, anti-choice groups, have a powerful presence and are actively hindering law proposals regarding this topic. The prejudices and stigma are present even amongst healthcare providers. And sometimes the religious people, they pressure these healthcare providers, the legislators. For example, every time there is a law in a local Congress, there are so many religious groups outside the Congress. They are, bothering the legislators. They even get their personal numbers, and they are
Harassing them.
Yes, harassing is the word. They are harassing them. So, yes, they have a lot of power, a lot of money, and this affects even the states where abortion is legal, because as I said before, sometimes doctors deny it even if it's requested under the legal indication. So yes, it's a problem.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm curious what you see as kind of the value of the street actions that were carried out as opposed to kind of the actual organization on the legislative side of things. Like what degree do you think both contributed to you know, the successes that y'all have seen?
I think both were very, very important to the recent successes. The public demonstrations helped the feminist movements strengthen. Like, it is, like, yes, this recent protests have been the, what do you say? It has been where the most women have gone out to the streets, taken the streets, and it has helped because the government has responded to some of our requests. But also, it is extremely important to talk about the organization. And also, something I didn't mention and that I would like to emphasize is that in 2021, the Supreme Court of Justice in Mexico ruled favorably in 4 abortion-related cases. And this provided us with progressive jurisprudence and legal interpretations in favor of recognizing and increasing abortion rights. So this has, this has served our movement and all the argumentation to push decriminalization laws. And well, about the four cases, in the first case, the Supreme Court declared that limitations to access legal abortion after rape must be removed. In the second case, it declared that the absolute criminalization of abortion with consent is unconstitutional. And in the third case, it declared that the protection of life from the moment of conception is unconstitutional. And in the fourth case, the court ruled that legislative reforms broadening the boundaries of conscientious objection in the federal health law are unconstitutional. And the Supreme Court is the highest court of justice in Mexico, and all judges should respect what they establish. And well, unfortunately, it doesn't happen in all states, but it is like the most important precedent we have right now. And it is fundamental for our argumentation in local congresses.
Has the national government done anything at all to try to force the states who are like not following the rulings to like accept the rulings?
No, because our president, he is very neutral in this topic, and he has spoken against feminist movements, and he thinks that any protest means like conservators against his liberal government. Mm. So no, we don't have this support from the national government. Although, as I mentioned before, we have a lot of allies and in many instances that have helped to pressure state public officials to respect the law and to keep pushing this agenda.
Is the president, I'm just curious, I'm ignorant, but is the president like, well, how is he received by the general public? Like, what's people's like, is he neutral because, I mean, he's a coward because he doesn't want to rock any boats, but what's the response for the public?
He still has a lot of support from the majority. He is one of the first, how do you say, progressive presidents, although we have been very disappointed by many of his actions, for instance, the increase of militarization and the criminalization of feminists, of human rights activists, of journalists. However, it is the first time in so many years that a president talks about poor indigenous people, that send support to rural communities. So he still has a lot of support.
One thing that I don't know how much you want to get into it, but we talked to some people. Oh God, I don't remember how many months ago now, but we talked to some people a while back who were doing trans rights organizing in Mexico, and they were talking a lot about how they were talking about how, I guess, like anti-choice conservative groups have been using sort of organized transphobic groups as a way to sort of divert attention away from the abortion struggle and the femicide struggle into stuff that doesn't like challenge the status quo. And yeah, and I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yes, thank you so much for talking about this. Transphobia in the feminist movements is horrible. Like the transphobic feminists have been getting to conservative public officials. They have been approaching religious groups, and they have even affected the abortion agenda because some of our laws include people with the capacity to get pregnant. So these health services include trans men and non-binary people, but these transphobic feminists have been, how do you say, obstaculizing this struggle because of these prejudices. And it is very, very sad. And some of the main and most famous references in feminism have been citing this transphobic side. And yes, they are approaching to the ultra right, and they have been hindering not only trans people's rights, but now women's rights in general.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I think that there was a picture that was going around that was of some of the organizers from one of the like transphobic feminist collectives, like taking pictures with Felipe Calderon. Yeah, I think it was Felipe Calderon. Yeah, but
I don't know. I haven't seen that image, but there was a forum some weeks ago. It was a forum in the National Autonomous University of Mexico, and it was a feminist discussion. And most of the panelists were so famous in all Latin America. Started to say some transphobic points. So yes, this anti-rights movement is very present in feminism.
Yeah, I guess the other thing on that point that I was wondering is how have like pro-trans feminists been sort of fighting back against these people? Has that been happening a lot?
Well, we try, but it has been very, very difficult because literally there are transphobic people everywhere. I mean, government and non-governmental organizations and institutions, and the majority of the people are not, how do you say, socially conscious about trans rights. So transphobic people have so much more power, but sometimes we denounce it in social media. We report it to international organizations, and like we have all the human rights narrative and argumentation in our favor, but it is difficult because there are so many transphobes everywhere. We have also contacted international organizations to publicly say that, for example, if you want to access a certain grant, you have to have an inclusive position. What other ways? The trans movement has strengthened so much since 2019. Because in Mexico City, a law to recognize trans children and adolescents was pushed for the first time, like via the administrative way. So there has been, how do you say, a cohesion of trans organizations, collectives. So I think that is the most noteworthy progress.
Mm-hmm.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily Podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I guess there's been a lot of people like looking to the Green Tide and looking to sort of the broader Latin American feminist movement for sort of inspiration and also for sort of tactical advice. And I was wondering what advice would you give people in the U.S. who are coming into this fight now, and where would you send people to learn more stuff about it?
Some key points I consider relevant is, firstly, the visibility of the pro-choice agenda and the social decriminalization of abortion. When we talk about legal abortion, we have to emphasize a lot also on the social decriminalization, it is very important to work on strategies to reduce stigma and demonstrate that abortion is a common reproductive event that must be approached using gender perspective and the human rights framework. We encourage public dissemination of the legal, medical, and social information with hard sustained data from international organizations that position abortion as a human right and an essential health service. And related to this first point, the narrative and the argumentation. We have to focus on the access to safe and legal abortion as a human rights issue, which means it's a governmental obligation to ensure access to this service. On our case, Mexico has national and international commitments regarding girls and women's rights, and I'm pretty sure the United States also has this commitments, so it's their obligation, it's the government's obligation to ensure. And also regarding their narrative, we have to work on naturalizing abortion and encourage people to stop using this word as a crime. Abortion is a human right and it is a reproductive event in the life of women and people with the capacity to get pregnant. And it's a reproductive event that has always existed and will always exist, either naturally or induced. And some of the organizations that I know of here that can provide information are the pro-choice alliance organizations, Catholics for the Right to Decide. They can give the religious and ethical arguments. My organization, Gender Equality, we have the social argumentations. We accompany and work with the girls and women. We are in 12 states and we are in the mobilizations. We are in the on the local congresses. Also, GIRE in Spanish is Grupo de Información de Reproducción Elegida. They have all the legal expertise and they work these reforms and laws to decriminalize abortion. We have IPAS. IPAS is an international organization and they are medical experts and they provide all types of data and information regarding this part. And the Population Council, they are the experts on monitoring and investigation, and they have many research papers. And well, there are also like other pages that can give information, for example, about self-induced abortion. The health organization has a protocol. It's a public protocol for self-induced abortion, and it is completely safe to do it at home.
Well, I really appreciate all the information.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think it's really helpful to hear what other countries have done in the same struggle. It's like so similar but different at the same time, because we've dealt with the same similar things like TERFs and religious, yes, like opposition and everything. So it's really helpful, I think, to realize, like, first of all, it is a basic human right. Like, it's like internationally an issue. And then just to see how other people have organized is really important, I think.
Yes, and now I believe that we have like kind of a similar situation where it's a situation of legal discrimination in which only women who live or have the resources to travel to the states that have decriminalized abortion can exercise the right to a voluntary legal interruption of their pregnancy. Am I right? Because I don't know much about the situation in the United States, but I know that it is legal in some states, right?
Yeah.
So it is now, legal in some states, mm-hmm. and then, like, in contrast to that, it's, like, illegal even in case of rape, and, like, the, mm-hmm. the people that have been raped can be sued. It's, like, a very, like, up and down kind of balance. But, yeah, there's definitely both that exist, and I think that's where it becomes really hard to extinguish the bad side.
Yes, part of our struggle to decriminalize abortion in the other states is because women who live in poverty and marginalized conditions who want to have an abortion but reside in other states where it's illegal cannot do so under legal circumstances. So mm-hmm. it's also a class problem. It's And also in Mexico, there are some states that even criminalize a spontaneous abortion. Like it wasn't even induced. And instead of calling an ambulance, some people call the cops when a woman is dying because of a spontaneous abortion. So,
This
has caused also a public health problem affecting girls and women in more vulnerable situations who live in the most restrictive context, rural and indigenous communities, also migrants, girls and women victims of sexual abuse, women with disabilities, among others. And always the most vulnerable women are more susceptible to getting unsafe clandestine abortions, which can lead to infections, hemorrhaging, injury to internal organs, and even death. There are some places like in communities where there is not even access to internet or to basic health services, and girls and women are still dying due to unsafe abortions.
Yeah.
And they are like 100% preventable deaths.
Yeah. No, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. You've been amazing. But it's interesting because that's true. I think regardless of the country, the most vulnerable are the most affected, whether it's a class issue, it's a race issue, it's a disability issue. It's like, so all these things rich people will get abortions either way. Like privileged people will always have a route to take care of themselves. So it's just, I don't know. It's unfortunate just seeing how like humans have functioned regardless of the country that they build.
Yes.
It's sad.
Yes. And criminalizing abortion does not reduce its practice. They think prohibiting it will like end its practice, and it only increases the probabilities of these unsafe procedures,
mm-hmm.
and it increases the stigma and prejudices, and it even strengthens this anti-rights, anti-choice groups. But when abortion is performed in a safe and informed manner, it is even less risky than childbirth, among other interventions. And for example, it is much safer for a girl to have an abortion than to continue with a pregnancy.
Yeah, when the pregnancy is like threatening her life or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's why we have to keep fighting for legal decriminalization. Totally.
Thank you for lifting it back up. I was getting down there.
Yes, and here in Mexico, like bills continue to be promoted in different states. We keep forming and strengthening alliances. And we have to strengthen these alliances with all types of sectors. And that's why the alliance work, for example, because there are the religious sectors, we work also with legislators, with doctors, healthcare providers, even in schools, and with the public general. So it is a collective effort and a collective commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. I have nothing to add. That's good, better than that. So thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to step away now.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I guess one last thing. Well, A, do you have anything else you want to say? And then B, where can people find you on the internet, like, if they want to? And do you have other organizations and stuff that you want to promote?
I'm like Erica Yamada in all my social media. And the organization I work in, it's Equidad de Género, Ciudadanía, Trabajo y Familia. But the National Network for Reproductive Rights, where we are in 12 states, it's called DDESER. It's DDESER. And you can find those in most of the states. And we can provide information regarding abortion if you write to us. And also something I would like to say is that even after it's legalized, we must continue to ensure that these abortion services are implemented and that they can reach to all girls and women, that it must be guaranteed in paper and in practice. And yes, the emphasis in reaching the most underserved and vulnerable populations.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for us today. Erica, thank you so much for talking.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a wealth of information. It's really valuable. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you all for listening. That's your episode for the day.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.